The words you read, my heart's been displayed. By Hear Jess Roar, read by X-Man Hater. Summary. In retrospect, asking Stephen Robin for advice on how to tell Eddie she likes him might have been her first mistake. The second was probably not writing his name on the tape. In Chrissy's defense, only Eddie Munson would get handed a mixtape and not think it was for him. Robin, how do you tell a boy you like him? Robin chokes on her soda. Chrissy gives her the most pathetic look she can manage while Robin sputters. Steve is cackling to himself over in the horror section, and for the life of her, Chrissy doesn't understand why. It's an honest question. When she and Jason had started going out, it wasn't like she ever had to say anything. They just kind of fell into it. He was the captain of the basketball team. She was the head cheerleader. It made sense, and Jason was cute. Chrissy thought that was what love was, when things just made sense, even if it was kind of boring. How was she supposed to know? Robin has finally gotten control of her coughing fit and cards her fingers through her hair frantically. Chrissy lets her have her moment. It's more fun to be dramatic while she waits, draped over the counter at Family Video like she's some sort of dying waif.
Why would you ask me?
Robin asks, her voice high. Chrissy groans and pushes herself up onto her elbows.
I don't know. You're smart. You know things. Like how to hit on nerdy people.
Steve's cackling devolves into full-on wheezing, and Chrissy glances behind her as Robin glares at him over Chrissy's shoulder.
If the audience would kindly fuck all the way off, Harrington.
How to hit on nerdy people.
Steve repeats, his voice faint with how hard he's trying to get a hold of himself.
Chrissy, you're so cute.
God save me from Hawkins hijacks,
Robin mutters under her breath, and Chrissy gives her a hurt look. Robin shrugs unapologetically and continues entering video returns into the computer, like she'd been doing before Chrissy had sprawled pathetically over her counter.
You date more than I ever have, Cunningham. Why don't you tell me?
Chrissy knows she's gone red with embarrassment.
I've only ever gone with Jason, though, she protests. And that wasn't... I never...
She huffs, her bangs puffing up and falling back down against her forehead. Robin looks at her curiously.
I've never felt like this about a boy,
Chrissy admits quietly.
And I never had to confess to Jason. It just happened.
She swears she sees sympathy in Robin's eyes just for a second.
Chrissy.
Steve drops a stack of cases between them on the counter.
Make him a mixtape.
Chrissy blinks and Steve gives her a winning smile. 3 years ago, it would have made her heart stop in its tracks. As it is, it's mostly just comforting. Chrissy does like Steve. They've run in more or less the same circles her whole life, and just like nearly every other cheerleader, at one point or another, she'd wanted to go out with him once. But Steve was going steady with Nancy Wheeler, and Chrissy had been, more or less, happy with Jason, and her little crush had fizzled out fast.
What?
A mixtape,
Steve repeats, cracking open the first of the cases to pull out the tape and make sure it's been rewound.
Confess all your gross, mushy feelings for Munson with music. Speak his language.
Chrissy can feel her face go scarlet all over again.
I didn't say anything about Eddie.
Steve raises a disbelieving eyebrow, and even Robin looks over to give her a flat look. Chrissy groans and buries her face in her hands.
I'm incredibly obvious, aren't I?
I mean, not to him. He's an idiot,
Steve says as she peeks up at him through her fingers. And she knows he's joking. She hopes he's joking. She doesn't like it when people call Eddie an idiot. He's not.
But I don't even really know his type of music, she frets and tugs at her sleeves. My mom would kill me if I started listening to metal.
Steve crosses his arms and leans on the counter, beckoning her closer like he's sharing a secret.
Okay, first of all, one,
he holds up a finger.
Your mom is going to kill you anyway when she finds out you've been making goo-goo eyes at Satan's spawn.
Chrissy makes a noise of protest. Eddie isn't evil. But Steve ignores her and presses on, holding up another finger.
And two, I meant your music. If it's not you, it won't be authentic, and we all know how he feels about being yourself.
Steve rolls his eyes like Eddie doesn't have a point. Robin snorts, tossing Steve an amused look.
It's not a bad idea, coming from the King Dingus himself, she concedes, double-checking someone's name as she types in their late fees. Chrissy chews on her bottom lip.
Yeah? You think so, Robin?
She shrugs and keeps tapping at the keys. I mean, if someone was going to tell me they have a big fat crush, they could at least put some effort into it. Steve makes a grumbly sort of noise to himself and sticks his tongue out at Robin's back. She somehow senses it without looking and flips him off without pausing or typing. Steve rolls his eyes again and turns his attention back to Chrissy. He smiles warmly and reaches out to tap her on the nose.
He'll love it. Trust us.
Chrissy wrinkles her nose, mildly amused at how big shot Steve Harrington acts like such an older brother to everyone now, apparently. She's kind of touched that she's in the club, too. The door opens with the jangle of the little bell, and Steve straightens up.
Speak of the devil, he mutters, his eyebrows up on his forehead. Munson, don't you leave that kid in here. It's after 7. He's your problem now.
I feel so loved, Dustin complains, throwing his backpack over the counter. It falls near Robin's feet, and she gives him a dirty look. Chrissy turns around to lean against the counter, facing the other way, and gives Eddie her brightest smile, despite the way her heart is trying to crack out of her ribs.
Hellfire over already?
There's something tight in Eddie's face, something that Chrissy can't quite put her finger on. He smiles back at her, but it doesn't look right.
Yeah, he says, hands in his jacket pockets. That one, he nods toward Dustin, who is currently fighting with Steve about getting behind the counter. Begged to get a ride back here. I couldn't say no. He took a shit ton of damage tonight.
And when he looks back at her again, the wrong something is gone.
I'm not heartless.
No, he's not. Chrissy knows that, and she really wishes the rest of the town would get with the program, too. People still avoid him at school, and she has a horrible feeling that people avoid him when he's out and about, too. The gossip and the whispers and the rumors. Eddie says they don't bother him, but they sure as hell bother her. So he plays his guitar too loud and wears his hair long and plays a game she doesn't understand very well but clearly makes him happy. So what? None of that made him the devil, and it certainly didn't make him the murderer they tried to paint him as. She's pretty sure the worst thing Eddie Munson has ever done in his life was charge Jason and his friends full price for a baggie of oregano. Coincidentally, also the funniest thing she's ever witnessed in her life. And all right, fine, he was totally going to sell her ketamine. But when she'd asked later, Eddie had admitted to the fact that he wasn't going to let her take that trip alone. He wouldn't have left her to fend for herself. That's still a pretty far cry from the first and only time she'd ever gotten drunk, and Jason had left her sprawled on the kitchen floor of Debbie Matthews' house at 2 a.m. Deb had ripped him a new one for that. There's something a little funny about the way Chrissy feels safer in Eddie's weed tobacco beer-smelling van than she ever did in Jason's pristine car. Eddie doesn't hide the ugly. Chrissy wishes she could be the same. It's one thing to smear her fingers through dust and find gold underneath. It's another to tear down the wallpaper in her perfect house and reveal the rotting carcass of a life in the walls. And her mother would tell her that she's too old for schoolgirl crushes, but Chrissy can't help the way her stomach swoops when Eddie smiles at her. It's wide and honest and true, and she remembers how he made her laugh when all she wanted to do was die. Something about him is reckless and charming and contagious, and Chrissy really can't get enough of it. She wants to know if he could feel the same. Because Chrissy knows what she is. She's pretty and popular, and she's done her level best to stay kind in spite of all of that. She knows what people think of cheerleaders, and she wants to be the reason they change their mind, because her friends on the squad aren't bad. And isn't that what Eddie's always harping on about anyway? Preconceived notions? Writing people off without getting to know them first? And under the hairspray and the eyeshadow, she's a walking wreck of a person, propped up with spite and the knowledge that she can go anywhere she wants after graduation. She just has to survive first. She thinks Eddie might understand that. Jason certainly hadn't. And she doesn't mean to rag on Jason all the time, but after taking a step back from what had been more or less safety in a comfort zone, Chrissy can see... Well, she can see Jason, as he is. She wonders if Jason ever managed to see her, too.
Betty's still looking at her, and Chrissy fiddles with the hem of her skirt. "You didn't kill him, did you?" she asks, because she's starting to understand some of the Dungeons & Dragons stuff. Just from listening to Eddie and the freshmen talk, and she at least knows that their character dying would be night-ruining. Eddie barks a laugh.
"Nah, he lives to fight another day."
He cuts his eyes over to Dustin, who has managed to climb over the counter, despite Steve doing his best to push him away.
"For now."
And Chrissy knows he's kidding, because Eddie might act like a big scary overlord, but she knows how much he enjoys when his players have a successful campaign, that their excitement is contagious and he loves getting to be part of it. She chews on her lip, and with a startled thud against her ribs, notices that Eddie watches her do it. She can feel the blush bloom across her nose as she looks at the floor, feeling all of about 12 years old again, buying Kit Kats for the boy she liked, and incredibly, inexplicably humiliated by the whole ordeal. Eddie clears his throat, scratches at the back of his neck, and says,
"Well, I'd love to hang out with the rest of the Breakfast Club all night. I've got shit to take care of."
He tosses a lazy salute to Robin, who nods in acknowledgement.
"Henderson, behave for your mama there."
Steve splutters on what is definitely meant to be a "fuck you, Munson." But Eddie rolls right over him easily, glancing back at her.
"Chris,"
he says, smiling, and Chrissy's heart flutters in her chest. It's embarrassing. And she can't help that she watches him go.
"Holy shit,"
Dustin says from somewhere by her elbow. Chrissy jumps and turns to look at him, sitting crisscrossed on the counter now over Steve's annoyed grumbling. He's staring at her with surprise and delight, and Chrissy would like to crawl into a hole and die there if even a freshman can see her crush.
"Eddie's gonna get a girlfriend before Steve does," he says, voice full of awe.
Chrissy buries her face in her hands while Robin cackles. It takes her the better part of a week and a couple of borrowed cassettes from her friends, and a quick and sneaky jaunt to steal one of her dad's old heart albums from his dresser. He'll never know, and she needed Crazy on You, okay? Deb hands over her Jets tape with very little fuss, but she does ask Chrissy with a knowing grin what she's planning on doing with all these tapes. Chrissy chews the inside of her cheek and wonders what Deb would say if she admitted to making a corny confession tape with a school freak. She thinks Deb might laugh, but not in an unkind way. Deb is boisterous and loud and tells people what she's thinking with her sky-high bangs and hair wings. She reads magazines about trends from California and follows up on them, even if no one else is wearing them yet. Chrissy is going to miss her a lot after graduation. But Chrissy just smiles and tells her that she's working on a project. She borrows her brother's dual-deck boombox to record them and carefully writes down the tracks she wants in the order she needs. Was it too bold to start off with Crush on You? Maybe, but she really thinks it's best to get to the point of these things. Chrissy has spent enough time pretending and dancing around the truth in the rest of her life. She doesn't want to do that anymore. And she especially doesn't want to do that with Eddie, not when he saw right to the very heart of her from the beginning. He would know something was up if she was anything but honest with him, ever. She works on it when her mother isn't home, because she knows if her mother hears music coming from her room, she's bound to investigate, and the last thing Chrissy needs is the conversation of who she's making the tape for. Steve had had a point when he'd said her mother wouldn't be happy about Eddie, but in all honesty, Chrissy doesn't give a shit what her mother thinks anymore. Her mother created this casket of a house. She can lie in it all by herself. Chrissy Cunningham did not survive the devil himself to be paraded around like her mother's perfect little doll anymore. Please God, nobody open the dollhouse and see the bloody mess inside. Keep the curtains firmly shut and your mouth too for good measure. No fucking more. Not after Chrissy fought, kicking and screaming, to live. So no, she doesn't care if her mother finds out about Eddie. She doesn't. But she does care if her mother takes this away from her before she can even start. Chrissy isn't going to give her the chance. Not this time and not ever again. She handwrites the liner notes with purple pen, draws his name in her prettiest cursive, and dots the I with a heart. Chrissy immediately feels silly about it and folds it back up to shove it in her desk drawer. He doesn't need a track listing, she tells herself, clicking the case shut.
Seeing all the song titles would probably freak him out, and it scares her too a little. Better to just let him listen to it blindly. She gives it to him after school, the bright spring sunshine melting down lazily through the trees at their picnic table. And yes, Chrissy is sappy enough to call it their picnic table. Sue her, she's a romantic and she'll take what she can get. She slides it across the splintering wood, along with her notes from Mrs. O'Donnell's class, because she told him earlier she would help him with the assignment since it's one of the few classes she actually understands well enough to help someone else in. She's smart enough, but Chrissy isn't deluding herself into thinking she's going to be valedictorian. Eddie picks up the case with his thumb and index finger, raising an eyebrow at her. Chrissy's heart pounds in her chest, and all she can think is how childish this was. What a stupid idea this had been, never mind how hard she'd worked on it.
"What's this, Cunningham?"
he asks, inspecting the case as though for clues. Chrissy chews on her lips.
"Will you listen to it?"
she asks, feeling so out of her depth, she may as well be sinking into the ocean.
"And tell me what you think?"
Eddie gives her such a bemused look, his dark brown eyes boring holes right through her.
"For you? Chris, anything."
Chrissy doesn't know if she's falling or flying. Eddie doesn't come to school the next day. But that's okay, that's not terribly unusual for him. And Chrissy does her best not to worry about it. The fact that it's one day less she'll get to talk to him after school, one less day in a shrinking number of days till graduation, definitely doesn't weigh heavily on her mind at all. Deb snaps her gum as they stand in the hallway, Chrissy digging through her locker for her chem notes.
"Your monster cut class today,"
she observes, and Chrissy blushes.
"He's not a monster,"
she mumbles and realizes too late that Deb is grinning at her like she's won something.
"Ah, but he's yours, huh?"
Deb raises her hand in surrender as Chrissy gives her a wounded look.
"Hey, I'm not judging. At least he's interesting."
That's the closest Deb will get to insulting Jason directly, because Chrissy hasn't come out and said anything about him herself. But Chrissy knows that Deb hasn't liked Jason since her party sophomore year. Having to hold back Chrissy's hair while she upchucked her guts probably had something to do with it. She's never told Deb that she's not exactly unfamiliar with that situation. Chrissy swings her locker shut with a loud bang and a pout she can't help.
"I gave him a mixtape yesterday,"
she confesses, and Deb's grin grows wider. She grabs Chrissy by the arm and shakes her just a little. Chrissy gives her a pained look.
"What if he hated it and that's why he's not at school?"
Deb rolls her eyes, but before she can say anything, someone else links their arm with Chrissy's. She stumbles at the sudden weight, but Nancy keeps her propped up and saves her from eating linoleum.
"Hey, Nance,"
Chrissy says, because everyone else at school might think Nancy Wheeler is some sort of stuck-up priss. But Chrissy has seen her sharpshoot a demon at 30 paces, and after you witness that, you gain a little bit of respect for someone. She gives Deb an apologetic glance.
"I'll see you in class."
Deb gives Nancy a little finger wave of acknowledgement, squeezes Chrissy's arm, and continues down the hallway, her pristine white cheer sneakers squeaking against the tiles as she goes. Nancy smiles brightly.
"So a little birdie told me..."
"Robin," Chrissy says, exasperated.
"I can't keep anything secret in this friend group, can I?"
"Nope," Nancy says cheerfully.
"And I just had a little heads up for you. He's gonna taste like weed."
Chrissy squeaks and Nancy giggles, clearly delighted that she's made Chrissy blush harder.
"Nance!"
Nancy gives her a sardonic look.
"I promise I mean his mouth. And trust me, okay? I was dating Jonathan Byers for how long? He was basically Eddie's number one customer."
And great, now Chrissy is thinking about Eddie's mouth in the middle of the hallway, which isn't good because she's going to continue thinking about it well into the middle of class. Why would Nancy do this to her? And she's not sure that Nancy's exactly right, because Eddie doesn't smell, actually. He smells like boy, like cheap soap and laundry detergent. And he definitely does smoke his own stash of better product, along with cigarettes he buys in singles from his neighbor. But she's pretty sure he takes the time to wash his hands and brush his teeth after, since aside from his van, Chrissy can't recall anything ever clinging to him. It's weird. Now she wants to know. Call it a hypothesis she wants to test out. And yes, she knows that isn't what a hypothesis is. She isn't failing science either.
Robin, fix her, Steve demands, fiddling with the television on the wall.
Chrissy groans again, burying her face in her crossed arms on the counter at Family Video. She can't believe that this has become her go-to after-school moping spot. Robin reaches out blindly from behind her book and pats Chrissy on the elbow.
There, there, she says flatly. Chrissy bats her away.
I'm an idiot, she grumbles, and she knows she's whining, but she doesn't care. That was a dumb idea. What am I, a seventh grader?
Steve reaches out as he walks by and tugs her ponytail playfully. She twitches it out of his grip and sends the grumpiest glare she can muster at him from beneath her arm.
It was a good idea, and I stand by it. You'll see, Cunningham. He pauses. In about 10 seconds, in fact.
Chrissy bolts upright as the door jangles behind her.
Oh, look who's actually returning his shit on time, Robin says, putting her book down.
Eddie slides his trio of movies across the counter.
Did you enjoy your 80th rewatch of Dune, nerd? Yes, yes, I did. Thank you so much for asking.
Eddie snarks, and he doesn't look at Chrissy. Chrissy's heart plummets.
Lovely to see the young employees taking such an interest in their clientele. Like a good little customer service drone.
Robin flips him off wordlessly, and even though Eddie laughs, there's something strained about it.
Hi, Eddie, she says, too quietly.
He glances at her out of the corner of his eye and nods. Chrissy wants to cry. She bites her lip. Eddie's a lot of things, but mean isn't usually one of them. She must have made him really uncomfortable.
He stuffs his hands into his jacket pockets and makes a vague sort of shrugging gesture. Would love to hang around and chat, Mystery Inc., but...
He pauses and digs for something in his pocket.
Oh, Chris, you can have this back.
He holds it out to her and she takes it automatically.
It's her tape.
Chrissy's heart splatters all over the floor of the goddamn Family Video. There's a strange ringing sensation in her ears as she watches him turn tail and retreat. Robin whistles lowly as the door shuts behind him with an echoing snick.
That was cold, Munson. What the hell?
And Chrissy doesn't want to hear sympathy right now. She doesn't. There's something hot and burning in her chest, and for a second she thinks it might be heartbreak. But as it tears into her throat, she realizes that it's anger. It's anger, and for the first time in her life, she's not going to swallow it down. She bolts out the door after him, Steve and Robin both calling her name, but she pays them no mind. She is Chrissy fucking Cunningham, goddammit. Eddie is allowed to not feel the same way that she does. She knows that. She accepts that. She knew it was a probability and a long shot in the dark the whole time, no matter how he smiled at her and made her laugh like it was his new mission in life. But she thought he'd at least care about her feelings. Something is wrong, and Chrissy deserves to know what it is, at the very least. The loose rocks on the pavement skitter under her feet as she squints into the evening sun, spotting him down the block. He's hard to miss.
Eddie, wait!
She manages to grab hold of the door of his van just before he shuts it on her, and Eddie blinks at her with clear surprise written all over his face. Chrissy moves to stand between the door and his van so he can't close it. She won't let him run away from this conversation. And to her surprise, he smiles at her. It's broken. His eyes, oh God, his eyes, big and brown and lovely, have so much sadness in them it cuts her to the bone. What on earth has she done to him? She's still clutching the tape in her fist, sweat from her palm clinging to the plastic case and making it slippery. Chrissy waves it vaguely.
You said you'd tell me what you thought,
she says, a little desperately. Eddie swallows and his cracked grin fractures more.
It's great, he says, and the lie hangs between them, heavy and dark. Harrington's gonna love it.
What?
What?
She cannot have heard that right. Eddie fidgets with his rings and doesn't look at her as she steps up onto the running board to close some of their height gap.
You know,
he says, glancing up.
Steve, the guy you're after?
Chrissy's mouth drops open.
Steve?
She repeats, completely flabbergasted.
You think I made this tape for Steve?
She doesn't know if she should laugh or cry. Instead of choosing, she shoves the tape back at him.
I made it for you, dummy.
He doesn't take it from her, so she drops it into his lap instead, and Eddie jumps, looking absolutely bewildered.
Me?
He says, like he can't believe it. And oh God, Chrissy might just pick crying after all.
You put Bonnie Tyler on this. How could that be for me?
You think holding out for a hero was for Steve?
And she doesn't like how shrill she is, but by God, she might actually be crushing on a total idiot after all. She thought that one would have been more obvious than crush on you. How could he not be her hero? Eddie Munson had seen right into the very core of her and decided he was going to stick around to make sure the rot didn't touch her more than it already had. He'd picked up an oar and smacked demon bats out of her hair and held her hand in that horrible place the freshman called the upside down. And told her that he felt like he was losing his mind, too. That it was going to be okay.
You're always at the video store with him, Eddie says. Nothing accusatory in his tone.
He sounds like he's stating a fact, and still looking like he doesn't believe a word she's trying to say. But he turns bodily to face her, the heels of his sneakers on the doorframe. And Chrissy takes it as a good sign. Cautiously, searching his face, she sets her palms on his knees like she's keeping her balance. Eddie doesn't push her away. The tape is still balanced on his thigh.
The mixtape was Steve's idea,
she says, and Eddie's brows furrow.
He told me to speak your language, but I guess something got lost in translation, huh?
I might also be a little stupid,
Eddie says, and the smile he gives is the first real one she's seen from him in days.
Want to know something embarrassing?
More embarrassing than trying to tell a boy you like him with a mixtape?
And Eddie, honest to God, blushes.
Yeah,
he scratches at the back of his neck.
I got kind of upset that you were having me proofread your Steve confession, and I got so high I couldn't go to school.
Chrissy's heart cracks in half.
Oh, Eddie.
Pathetic, ain't it?
Chrissy shakes her head, and she can't help that her thumbs are drawing little soothing strokes into the knees of his jeans.
I'm so sorry, Eddie.
Why, you didn't do anything wrong, Cunningham.
Still.
And Chrissy feels bad, she really truly does, but it also makes her wonder.
Does that mean you like me too?
Eddie snorts and gives her a look like it's a stupid question.
I'm not a total idiot, Chris. I know a good thing when I see it. Of course I like you. Who wouldn't? But this,
he gestures between them,
does not make a whole lot of sense on paper, so can you blame me?
Chrissy tilts her head at him.
Does it have to make sense?
Eddie grins, wide and honest.
Nah.
Good.
Chrissy Cunningham is taking what she wants for the first time in her life. And what she wants is to kiss Eddie Munson, with her feet on the running board of his shitty old van, and her hands on his thighs as he sits above her. The silly mixtape she made for him falling to the floor as he leans down to meet her halfway. He doesn't taste like weed, she notes vaguely, somewhere in the back of her mind, and the thought makes her laugh against his mouth. Cigarettes, maybe, but she doesn't mind. His hands come up to cradle her face like she's something he doesn't want to break. And her fingers curl against the denim of his jeans, her nails catching on a distressed hole in the fabric and scratching lightly at his skin. They break apart, but he doesn't let her go far, and God, Chrissy could drown in those eyes. His fingers skim just under her ear, calluses catching so lightly on the delicate skin there, and Chrissy shivers. Eddie's smile turns just the slightest bit wolfish.
Some of those songs were a little suggestive, you know? He says, and he definitely doesn't sound offended.
Chrissy meets his gaze head-on, unflinchingly, and raises a challenging eyebrow. He laughs.
Holy shit, Chrissy.
Eddie pulls her in for another kiss, and Chrissy has the feeling that he's mostly doing it to prove to himself that he can.
And he definitely can, as many times as he wants to, because Chrissy might actually be melting in front of God and everybody. Here in the street with Eddie Munson's fingers on her jaw, cold rings pressing into her skin. She pulls away first this time. "I really like you, Eddie," she murmurs, forehead pressed to his. Because Chrissy feels like she needs to make it clear, like the fact that his mouth is kiss-bruised by her own doing isn't enough. He makes a noise low in his throat, and it sounds just a little desperate. She wonders when the last time it was anyone had told him that, if ever. The thought makes her sad. So she vows then and there to tell him how much she likes him, every day if he'll let her. Because Eddie is Eddie, and no matter what the town thinks of him, she knows better. He's kind, and he's goofy, and he likes animal crackers, the frosted kind. He loves his guitar and his band and his little club of freshman ducklings so much that she wishes the world could see just how much he cares. But at the same time, a selfish part of her is glad that some of them get to keep that part of him for themselves. The town is going to talk, she knows. Chrissy Cunningham, good girl, cheerleader, seen canoodling with Eddie Munson on the street like some floozy. Let them talk, she thinks, a little viciously. She'll tear down Hawkins with her teeth if it means Eddie keeps smiling at her the way he is at this second.
You're making very bad choices, Eddie says, sounding amused. Your taste in men gets more questionable by the day.
Chrissy smacks at his arm, landing a solid thwack on the leather, and Eddie laughs, but his eyes are vulnerable all over again.
I'm not still high, right?
He asks, and while he's definitely kind of joking, Chrissy knows that he's also kind of serious.
Because this would really suck to wake up from.
This is real, Chrissy says, though she kind of can't believe it herself, if she's being honest. It's been a roller coaster of a day. And you know how I know that? Because only in reality would you accuse me of making eyes at Steve Harrington. She wrinkles her nose in mock disgust and hopes that Steve would forgive her.
I'm never going to live that down, am I?
Eddie sighs, but he doesn't look like he's upset. Chrissy shakes her head. The first song was Crush on You, she says, putting as much exasperation into her voice as she can manage. Only you would let that go straight over your head, Munson.
In my defense, I did walk in on him bopping your nose. Looked awfully flirty to me. You sure I don't have competition?
Chrissy rolls her eyes and does her level best to get closer, pressing in so that Eddie's knees bracket her hips. She watches him swallow. There is no competition, she says firmly. There's only you. And she pulls him down again to prove it. The end.